Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, University Bookstore, and the Oneida Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. More information at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Northwind Renewable Energy of Stevens Point, designing and installing solar systems, highly efficient wood boiler systems, and providing deep energy retrofits to buildings. Northwind's project portfolio is available at northwindre.com.
Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Almost 3 years ago, the Wood County town of Saratoga and its town supervisors were sued for refusing to issue building permits for the proposed Golden Sands Dairy, a concentrated animal feeding operation, or CAFO, that would hold 5,300 animals on 7,000 acres of land, with much of that acreage also dedicated to irrigated agriculture. The project calls for 33 high-capacity wells, 31 for irrigation and 2 for the dairy production area. The Wysocki family of companies had court victories in their efforts to build Golden Sands, but 3 years later, the opposition from a determined citizens group continues. I'm Glenn Moberg. Jim Wysocki declined our invitation to appear on this program, citing in part the ongoing litigation over Golden Sands. But in the second half of the show, we will be joined by John Holyvote, Government Affairs Director of the Wisconsin Dairy Business Association. But first, we will hear from three members of the citizens group Protect Wood County and Its Neighbors, Wood County Board Member Bill Lightnam, Town of Saratoga Businesswoman Rhonda Carell, and Lakefront Homeowner Don Easted. If you have questions or opinions about the Golden Sands Dairy Project, you can share them with us at 1-800-780-9742. That number again is 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. Bill, Rhonda, and Don, thank you so much for being with us today and traveling up here to Wausau for this program.
Morning, Glenn.
Ron, I'm going to start with you. You're one of the founding members of Protect Wood County. Tell us about the organization.
Well, the organization ended up being formed after a simultaneous media event announcing the coming arrival of the proposed Golden Sands Dairy. It was announced on TV, and we were all shocked.
You're a businesswoman. Tell us what you do.
I am. I'm actually, I have a hairstyling salon in Saratoga. It's a lifelong career.
And are you concerned as a businesswoman about this project and how it might affect your business?
I am, absolutely. I need plentiful water and quality water. And I've actually had clients express concern because I do have many elderly clients that have immune issues, and they have concerns about the manure spreading and spraying that would be done around our home. And quite frankly, I've been told that I will lose part of my business. They will go elsewhere.
Now, is your business located in your home, or is it located elsewhere?
It's located in a building on our property. We moved there 8 years ago for the purpose of that. We had lived in Rome in Don's community for 18 years prior, where my business was.
And the town of Rome is in Adams County, just south of the town of Saratoga in Wood County. Rhonda, southern Wood County and northern Adams County, they're economically challenged areas. As a businesswoman, wouldn't it be good for your business to have a prosperous dairy farm and the estimated 100 jobs during construction and then 40 full-time jobs after that?
Well, I am absolutely pro-business. There is no doubt about that. Always have been. But when I started looking at we knew about our sandy soil, the susceptible water because of our sandy soil, and that concerned me because that becomes a really serious problem very quickly.
And how many members do you have right now in Protect Wood County and Its Neighbors?
I would say literally hundreds that are active, but I think that we probably reach a few thousand via email and through other.
Do you think you're going to be successful? It's tough to try to challenge an economic development like that.
Well, we actually are pushing a very big boulder uphill. I do believe we will be successful because there are certain facts that cannot be gotten past, and that is our permeable soil and our susceptible groundwater. It's the worst possible place to site a CAFO.
Bill Lightnam, you live in the town of Saratoga. You're a retired school teacher who taught in Nakusa for 35 years. You're a lifelong resident of the area. Why do you oppose this dairy?
Glenn, can we just back up a second here? When you mentioned that Golden Sands Dairy would employ 100 people...
During construction. Those are their figures.
And then I think the other number you used was 40.
Those are their figures off of their website.
More correctly, probably 25.
So, why are you challenging their figures? Do you have information?
I've never seen a number as high as 40 in print anywhere in the 3 years that we've been up against the Golden Sands.
Okay, I took that directly off of their website. I did it this morning. But Bill, tell me about your background. You're one of the opponents here. You live in the town of Saratoga. You're a retired school teacher. You're a lifelong resident. Why do you oppose the farm?
You know, Glenn, this started June 6th, which oddly enough is D-Day. And I think within days, I intuitively, instinctively knew that this would be a real challenge to our water. And so I walked into a meeting that the home was completely full of residents who had that same feeling I did. I've done 3 years of research, but you don't have to do the research. You know in a case like this that your community is going to be challenged. So it was a no-brainer for me. It was easy thing to do to oppose the Golden Sands Dairy.
As a lifelong resident, are you opposed to any change in the region? Isn't development a good thing?
Yeah, certainly it is. And, you know, wouldn't you rather have 475 jobs in a golf course as opposed to 25 in something that's going to do ecological damage to your area? That's my feeling.
You were elected to the Wood County Board last year, and
yes.
You did very well. The margin was 490 to 60. Is that correct?
Yeah, Glenn, I campaigned hard, but everybody in the town granted their support immediately. They knew that the incumbent was in favor of the building of the Golden Sands Dairy, and so it was a real easy fight, although that winter was a horribly cold winter for us to get out and knock on doors.
So you think your election was directly due to your opposition to the Golden Sands Dairy?
Absolutely, positively.
I agree with that.
The town of Saratoga board, they've done everything they can to block the project. What are the attitudes of the people on the Wood County Board of Supervisors? Bigger group, covers a bigger area.
People who I greatly admire, I think what they try to do is they've tried to remain objective almost to a fault. Although to their credit, shortly after I got on, we established an ad hoc spray irrigation of waste committee. Right now in August, the August 18th County Board meeting, we have a groundwater protection ordinance that's coming before the County Board.
And how do you think that's going to fare before the entire board?
It was a 10-7 vote by resolution to bring it to the County Board, but I think we're going to do better than that.
Now, my understanding, Bill, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the town of Saratoga has already lost 3 court cases regarding this project. At the circuit and appellate court levels, the Wysocki family of companies won the right to put up the buildings on that property. Then there was a second circuit court decision that gave them the go-ahead to start farming. That decision is now being appealed. But given that track record of 3 victories, do you think this appeal has any chance of succeeding? I know you're not a lawyer.
I think we have a wonderful chance. It may be decided in the courts. It probably will be decided in the courts. But, Glenn, you know that this issue already has been decided in the court of public opinion. People don't want the Golden Sands Dairy in Southwood County.
When Golden Sands applied for the building permits, the town of Saratoga had no zoning on the books restricting large-scale farming on the property. Isn't it the town's own fault that this is happening? And isn't it unfair that they would then try to pass restrictive zoning after Wysocki already bought the land and they made their intentions clear?
Glenn, that's the most common argument I've heard. It's absolutely wrong. The town was within 6 months in a 5-year process of having that zoning in place. Somebody just jumped at a chance that wasn't going to be there for very much longer.
Let's move to Don Easted. Don, you spent part of your career, most of it, I guess, in the southeastern part of the state, in the Waukesha area?
I did. I was born in that area and raised in that area. Retired up to Lake Camelot about 4 years ago.
You're an industrial engineer by trade and a business consultant?
Yeah, I am. I started work as an industrial engineer, spent about 30 years of my career as a business consultant, improving processes and efficiencies for various companies.
And my information says you've owned land on Lake Camelot for 30 years now?
Yeah, we've been property owners up there for about 30 years. Built a retirement home there about 10 years ago and moved out full-time 4 years ago.
And this is in the town of Rome, which is in Adams County, but it's just south of the project.
It is. The way it's structured is the town of Rome is immediately south of where the farm fields would be. We border the northern border of Adams County. That farm is in the direct southern portion of Wood County. So we're right next door to it. In fact, the town of Rome is closer to some of the farm fields than many Saratoga residents.
About how far is this development from your home on Calumet?
Lake Camelot.
Lake Camelot, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're about 2 miles from the development.
And tell us about Lake Camelot. What's it like?
Well, Lake Camelot was it's a man-made lake. There's a string of three lakes that were developed in the early 70s, late 60s. And around the lakes, there are currently around 4,000 residences. Many of them are weekenders like I used to be. There are about 1,500 of us, most of whom are retired as I am.
What's the lake like? What does it look like?
Well, it's I tear up when I think about it, but it's a it's a beautiful lake, and the water this time of the year is absolutely precious. And you know, there is excellent fishing, a lot of water sports.
What kind of fish can you catch there?
Well, you catch a lot of panfish, walleye, bass.
About how deep is it?
The lake is 31 feet at its deepest and about 12 feet on average.
Is it spring-fed?
There are some springs in the lake, but they're fed primarily through 2 points, Spring Branch Creek, which would originate where the proposed farm would be, and then 14 Mile Creek, which comes to us more southerly.
Are you afraid that this project, I assume you are, would affect the water quality or the water levels of that lake?
Well, actually, I'm afraid for both. We were actually told by a noted hydrologist when I first found out about this back in September of 2012 that we would suffer, he said, plan on lower water levels in addition to higher nitrates in our water. And that would be both in our surface water, our lake water, as well as our groundwater.
Who is the hydrologist,
George that would Kraft? Be Dr. George Kraft.
Okay, at UW Stevens Point.
Yes.
And how far did he predict the lake level going down?
Well, he didn't give us an actual number. He said it's calculable based upon the figures in the environmental impact report that the Waisakis would put together.
So what would happen if you lost like 3 feet?
Well, what would happen, actually, there's a lot of evidence of that. If you just look east of us to Plainfield, where there are 10 lakes who have lost a considerable amount of their water because of the high-capacity wells that circle them, what would happen is the property values would drop terribly. Again, there are about 4,000 residences, in total 5,400 properties around these three lakes. So if the lake levels were to go down 3 feet, obviously we lose a lot of the recreation ability and whatever value we have in property.
But, you know, we have covered stories like this, and the Golden Sands region is susceptible to water table problems, particularly where there's irrigation. The Little Plover River, which is a Class A trout stream in Portage County, dries up periodically, and George Kraft has done analysis of that. We have had lakes, at least one in Washera County, that I believe has dried up completely.
Right. There are. And in fact, we've not, in my 30 years experience, the lake levels have been relatively constant, within a few inches of average most every year. And we'll see some fluctuation in a very dry year. As an example, in 2012, when we had the drought, our lake had dropped about a foot. Our lakes, our three lakes, actually feed into Lake Peatonwell. And so a number of residents in the town of Rome actually live on Lake Peatonwell. And our town is primarily recreational, and it's also tourism. Adams County, the county where I live, is ranked number four in per capita tourism income. In our town, there are the three lakes. There are two Class A golf courses in Arrowhead. It's the new home state facility for the Wisconsin Trap Shooters Association. They're about a mile from where this proposed farm would be. There are a few other things like Duracuse Recreational Area, which is the second leading recreational area, ATV area, in the state of Wisconsin. In addition, probably the biggest thing that's going for us right now, there's a new development. It's a Sand Barrens Golf Course, 1,500 acres being developed in the south.
Sand Barrens or Sand Valley? I thought.
Well,
Sand
the name of it is Sand Valley Resort, Golf Resort. And the reason they picked that area is because we have a natural feature called Sand Barrens, which is fairly unusual in the state of Wisconsin, especially in a fairly natural state. That's a $100 million development that the Wisconsin Rapids mayor, Zach Vruwink, calls it a tremendous boon to the overall economy.
Rhonda Carell, you're concerned about the tourism economy, I imagine.
Absolutely. The tourism economy also helps to create business for every other business in the area. It is quite impressive having the trap shooters come so close to Saratoga and also the Sand Valley Golf Project.
Now, listeners, if you just joined us, we have three members of the opposition group Protect Wood County and its Neighbors. They are fighting plans for a concentrated animal feeding operation or a large-scale dairy called Golden Sands Dairy in the town of Saratoga in Wood County. Our guests are Wood County board member Bill Lightnam, also town of Saratoga businesswoman Rhonda Carell, and lakefront homeowner Don Easted. And we will be joined by John Holyvoda of the Wisconsin Dairy Business Association in the latter part of this program. If you'd like to join the conversation, here's our number, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. I'll read it live on the air. And our guests are with us for only about 10 minutes or so, and then we will be joined by John Holyvoda. Rhonda Carell, what about real estate values in the area? Have you seen a decline in real estate values since this has been announced?
Yes, Glenn, actually we have. Just as an example, our next-door neighbors had to sell their home. We were sad to lose them, but when they sold their home, they had to sell for $70,000 under an appraised value that they had just had done. This appraisal was done just before the proposal for the Golden Sands Dairy came out. And then three doors down from us, there was another family that they took $100,000 less. And both of these families were absolutely prepared to let their homes go back to the bank if they could not sell them. So when we recently refinanced, of course, there are comps. So our property's been devalued somewhere between $70,000 and $100,000.
The Wysocki family of companies says it's doing everything possible to protect the environment. They're the first dairy farm to, or a vegetable grower for that matter, to voluntarily propose to install groundwater monitoring wells. They're pledging to carefully monitor and test water from those wells to make sure that contamination isn't a problem, and they've contracted with the Department of Agriculture Nutrient Management Planner to develop what they call a field-specific plan for crop fertilization and soil management. So the plan will minimize manure or other wastewater runoff from fields to surface water or groundwater. Bill Lightnam, if you listen to them, they're doing everything they can to try to meet your concerns.
Glenn, I think the thing you need to do with any of these statements is you need to look at their sister facility in Juneau County in the town of Armenia. Their monitoring well number four has a nitrate level that is seven times the state and federal level. I think if you ask landowners in that area, what they're getting for nitrate levels in their home wells, they're in the high 30s, low 40s, where, again, 10 is the accepted level. Women who are pregnant, older people, young children, shouldn't even have a nitrate level of 2 parts per million.
They say that the use of organic fertilizer, manure from the dairy, will make the crops less dependent on chemical fertilizers, and it will improve the sandy soil by increasing the content of organic matter. And they've installed state-of-the-art, or will install state-of-the-art, high-tech irrigation equipment to minimize the amount of water used for irrigation, variable speed drives, and soil testers to make sure that the crops aren't being overwatered.
I think here again, the issue is the manure. What do you do with it? If you have a lagoon that holds 55 million gallons of manure for a 180-day period, and suddenly it's brimful, it's to the top, what do you do? I think that leaks out, it comes out over the top. I don't know how you can handle that much manure safely.
Well, the dairy is going to be using an anaerobic digester to reduce odor and to produce renewable energy for the dairy. And again, on the Golden Sands website, it says that once the manure has gone through that anaerobic digester, it will produce manure solids that look, feel, and smell similar to the potting soil that you use in your garden. The website also says that landscape companies often use the manure solids as compost.
Digesters just don't work for very long. They probably won't come online for the first year or two, and then they usually burn out within 6 years if that's the type that you use. I've seen buildings where the digesters are housed in that the top of the roof is just rusted. They're not as efficient as you would think.
Could I?
Yeah.
Could I just jump in here? One thing I'd like to point out about the nature of the sandy soils where we live, think of it as coffee grounds. When you pour water through the coffee grounds, it brings that that dark, rich brown color. Sand soil is very much like that. We experienced that in the town of Rome. We have a municipal water system there. And in the late 90s, there was an ag spill in some ag fields not far from our wells. We were forced to relocate our wells, at a cost of $600,000. Our current municipal wells are 2.3 miles from this area. So we're very concerned about the nature of sandy soils. Leaching occurs very rapidly in a sandy soil. So that's a big concern for all of us.
Local payroll, estimated $1.5 million annual, procurement of $6 million annually, increasing the local tax base by $11 million annually. How can you walk away from something like that?
Well, in reality, though, when it takes away from so many other businesses and from the equity that people have built up in their homes, their home values, there is a problem with that.
I would add to that, I would compare that to the Sand Valley Golf Resort development that promises to bring 475 quality jobs to our area, plus a great deal of additional spending from people who will fly in to visit that golf resort. And I would compare it to the jobs. I mean, earlier Bill had questioned the 40 jobs at the dairy. A report was just issued in the Capital Times, and I saw it in the Milwaukee Journal, that said that the majority of the jobs in the CAFOs are migrant workers. And the reporter indicated that 75% of them were undocumented workers. And so it's the quality, it's not just the number of jobs, it's the quality of jobs that we're concerned with. 475 good-paying jobs in a community like Rome and Saratoga is a real advantage for us.
Well, their website says they'll be hiring veterinarians and assistants, herdsmen, milkers, feed attendants, heavy equipment operators, animal breeders, forage harvesters, transport drivers, office staff. Those sound like good jobs, Don.
The one veterinarian is Glenn.
Let me take a phone call real quick. We've got a couple of people who've been waiting patiently. Let's go to Helen in Saratoga. Helen, you're on Route 51.
Good morning. Thank you for the show. I think you stated, Glenn, that the Wysockis own the property, and I believe it's my understanding that they have an option to buy. And also, I'm concerned about my water in the town of Saratoga. How long will it take for my groundwater to be polluted by the nitrates and everything else that might come from the farm?
Who wants to handle that?
I think, Helen, the question there is if the farm for some reason went away, became something that just wasn't going to be effective in the town, how long would it take your water to come back? Nobody can even answer that question.
And let's take a comment from Gail on Facebook. She says that Wysocki sent a letter to residents in Saratoga dated June 12th that stated once operational, Golden Sands will create about 25 new full-time jobs.
That was the figure that we've always had.
The number, yes. The number is up to 40 now on their website. We are just about out of time for this segment, and I want to ask you one more question. This whole project has to meet the standards of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources for manure storage facilities, runoff control structures, manure treatment systems. The DNR also has to be convinced that the project won't lower the water tables or create water quality problems. And the dairy is covered by Wisconsin's livestock facility siting law, which has standards for odor levels from farm areas and manure storage areas. Bill Lightnam, it seems like there are protections built into this process.
Yes, there are. The only thing I'm questioning here is what is the delay? If Wysocki's have been up and built within 6 months of announcing, I think everybody in the state of Wisconsin, I think every state agency is looking at this and saying, in this sand country, is this really a wise thing to do? It's about the water.
Rhonda Carroll, your final thoughts on this.
Well, my final thoughts are there is nothing that changes the fact that our entire township, which they wish to develop approximately 12 square miles or a quarter of it, there's nothing that changes the permeability of the soil and the susceptibility of our water. Our town has put in 10 monitoring wells. We know what we have. We have pristine water, and we are not willing to give it up. The DNR is the CAFO permitting authority granted by the EPA, but they are not allowed to not permit. They can regulate, and they can put stipulations on things, but they cannot not permit.
And Don Easted, you've got the final word for this segment.
All right. Well, back in my business experience, we used to use a term called social license, and it described the sense of responsibility that a business would have in committing to a community and its environment. And it's the buy-in, if you will. It's that commitment in terms of where it operates. And you have to ask yourself, why would you ever want to put a business into an existing thriving community like Roman, Saratoga, especially where the people don't want you and where there's so much proof that you're going to decimate that recreational area?
Lakefront homeowner Don Easted, also Saratoga businesswoman Rhonda Carroll, and Wood County board member Bill Lightnam, thank you so much for being with us. And when we come back on Route 51, we will hear from John Holyvote. He's the government affairs director of the Wisconsin Dairy Business Association. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
Contributors to WPR include Mineral Point Chamber of Commerce, Madison Country Day School, and Sustainable Engineering Group. You, too, can help ensure the future of WPR with your business sponsorship. Go to WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Wausau's Woodson Art Museum, featuring after-dark photographs of North American botanical gardens, illuminated only by moonlight and flashlight. On view through August 30th. LYWAM.org.
I'm Glenn Moberg. We're back on Route 51 looking at the issues surrounding plans for the Golden Sands Dairy in the town of Saratoga in Wood County, a dairy that would house 5,300 animals on 7,000 acres, most of the land devoted to irrigated agriculture. We want to thank our guests in the first half of the show, members of the citizen opposition group Protect Wood County and its neighbors, Wood County board member Bill Lightnam, town of Saratoga businesswoman Rhonda Carroll, and lakefront homeowner Don Easted. Joining us now by phone is John Holyvote. He is the government affairs director of the Wisconsin Dairy Business Association. Jim Wysocki, the owner of Golden Sands, declined our invitation to participate in this program, citing in part the litigation that the project is involved in. Now, if you have questions or comments for John Holyvote, our lines are open at 1-800-780-9742. 1-800-780-9742, or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. John, thanks so much for making yourself available. And, John, what is the Dairy Business Association?
We're a group of dairy farmers as well as allied business people. So the companies that help the dairy industry in this state do well. We've got producers of all sizes, everything down from 50 or 60 herd family farm to a larger family farm like the one the Weisakis are proposing.
Now, you're the government affairs director for that organization. Tell us what that job entails.
I work in Madison. I talk with regulators and lawmakers about different policies that would improve the environment here to keep the dairy economy strong.
And I know you were listening in on the first part of the program. What's your reaction to the concerns voiced by the members of this organization, Protect Wood County?
Well, I mean, I think it's a common reaction to this sort of not-in-my-backyard mentality. I don't think that we need to draw a line between agriculture and all other segments of our economy. Agriculture is a big part of our economy here in Wisconsin. Over $88 billion by last count each year is generated by agriculture. We can coexist with tourism. We can coexist with other parts of our economy. There are counties, in fact, one of our best performing counties economically is Dane County, where I work. But Dane County has far more cows than Wood County, more of these large farms, which are called CAFOs, which just means they have a certain number of cows, than Wood County has, and still has a thriving tourism economy and a thriving overall economy. It's diverse and very healthy, with high home values and a good quality of life. They've made it work. There's no reason that Wood County can't do the same.
How much of your organization's time is spent battling opposition to these proposed new CAFOs? It seems like every couple of weeks you see something being proposed and immediately a citizens group organizing to oppose it.
It's not a huge portion of our time, although we do stay pretty involved in monitoring the situation. The unfortunate thing is it is a struggle now for farmers like the Weisakis to build a new farm on a greenfield site. And it's increasingly becoming difficult, whether that's a potato and vegetable farm, a dairy farm, a hog farm, any type of large agricultural development is really difficult now to build in Wisconsin. And frankly, that's a sad fact. It's not a good thing at all. We fell under 10,000 dairy farms this year for the first time, probably since near statehood.
Mm-hmm.
We've had that few dairy farms. But that's not the conversation that's happening. Instead, the conversation is about stopping new dairy farms. And the pattern here that's going on statewide is happening in Wood County, too. In my lifetime, and I'm 35 years old, we've gone from having over 700 dairy farms in Wood County to under 250. But there's no discussion about how we stop that trend, how we reverse that trend, why that's a concern for the economy up there. Instead,
why,
we're focusing all of our attention on this new proposed dairy.
Well, John, why does Jim Weisaki even want to build this dairy in the town of Saratoga when the people who live there overwhelmingly don't want it there?
I can't speak for Jim Weisaki. I can tell you, Jim, who is one of our members, he is primarily a potato and vegetable grower. He also has another dairy. And one of the reasons you'd want to build a potato and vegetable facility in Central Sands is because that sandy soil is fantastic for those crops. And the Central Sands is covered in potato and vegetable growing operations, not just from the Weisakis, from a number of different family farms.
Now, the town board there did everything they could to stop him. They rezoned the property. They denied him building permits. They did it unanimously, not one dissenter on that town board. And his response was to sue them. I mean, really, talk about getting off on the wrong foot.
I think there's two different perspectives here. One is if a local unit of government does everything they can, including resulting to illegal tactics, which the courts thus far have agreed with the Weisakis, that the town was not within its rights in doing what it did to them.
Well, the members of Protect Wood County, you just heard them, they say the town was in the process of developing, they already had a comprehensive plan which would have outlawed developments like Golden Sands, but they had not yet completed the zoning. And I think the direct quote from Bill Lightnum was, Weisaki saw an opening and he obtained the option to buy the property.
I don't think Mr. Lightnum fully appreciates the amount of time that it goes into developing this type of project. the idea that those things weren't already going on concurrently, the town's process and the Wysocki's process, is just silly. You don't go ahead and take an option to buy 7,000 acres without a pretty clear idea of what you're going to do with it. So I would disagree with that characterization. Again, I think we really have two different processes going on at the exact same time. And again, the Wysockis being well within their rights to try to develop this land.
Now, the Golden Sands region, as we just heard, they've got significant water table problems. UW-Stevens Point hydrologist George Kraft says that high-capacity wells have played a part in the north by drying up a trout stream, the Little Plover River. We've had entire lakes dry up in Washera County and in the Plainfield area. Why shouldn't a lakefront homeowner like Don Easted be legitimately concerned about this?
Well, I would question some of those models. We have some examples of other situations where people have been turned off by a new type of development. They hire a hydrogeologist to give them a model that shows they'll be impacted, and they'll often this will end up in litigation. And at the end of the day, when we actually look at what's happened to that resource water, the impact's just not there. There was a proposed dairy in southern Adams County. One of the concerns was water quantity and a drawdown from their high-capacity wells. They installed monitoring wells, and they've seen the water table stay constant or rise during that period of time. Lake Beulah in the southern part of the state, we had a Supreme Court case that bears that lake's name. A bunch of lake homeowners were concerned there about a residential development and a new municipal well drawing down their lake. They sued. They created a precedent-setting case at the Supreme Court because of their concerns. And now what have we seen? Now that those wells have been built, the lake level has risen.
Well, people in the area also say they've been using that water table for their drinking water for many years. 1,500 private drinking water wells within the three-mile cone of depression of the proposed high-capacity wells, and I'm taking that off of the Protect Wood County website. Why shouldn't they be concerned about a drop in the water table or nitrates in their water? And there's a municipal well just 2.3 miles from the site.
Well, one of the things that we have going for us here is we have a tremendous freshwater resource in our state. And we have a great amount of recharge that happens each and every year. And even in Portage County, which is much more heavily irrigated, the amount of drawdown from high-capacity wells compared to the overall recharge from rain and snow is just a drop in the bucket. Wood County has it even better than Portage County does. So I don't think the quantity concern is valid. As far as nitrates go, I'll take you back to one of my previous comments. This area is already full of agricultural use. Lots of potato and vegetable growers, lots of other kinds of agricultural crop growing occurring in that area. It's not as though nitrates are not being applied to that land. It is already on that same kind of soil in that same exact region.
Mm-hmm.
Only here we have the ability to do what the Wysockis are trying to do, which is to use organic manure, right, or that's organic fertilizer, that's real authentic nitrates in organic form, which would be easier to be taken up by their growing crops. They're also proposing to do it in a way that they use precision application of that manure to time release it, basically, so that the crop gets the nitrates and the nutrients exactly when it needs it. So in many ways, what they're proposing is superior to the use of
chemical fertilizers. You mentioned the recharge from rain and snow. What happens when we have drought years like we had 2 or 3 years in a row? We actually had a Class A trout stream, the Little Plover River, dry up. The recharge is great when we have wet summers and wet winters, but we had a 2 or 3 year stretch there where we had problems, and who's to say that won't happen again?
And all the growers around Little Plover, and one of the main issues with Little Plover was not agricultural high-capacity wells, but the municipal well in the city of Stevens Point, they work together to do what they can to mitigate the situation there, and they've made great progress. So I would say that there's a way to address problems if problems occur. I'd also say that a lot of these bodies of water experience a great deal of variation. We you can go back and look at historic photos of some of these lakes from the 50s and 60s. The natural ones, well, some of our man-made ones actually were constructed even after that period of time. But when we go back and examine those, even in wet years, some of them had lower water levels than they do now, even though there's been a fairly steady growth in the number of high-capacity wells used for irrigation of agricultural land. So I don't think it's a question. I mean, you're going to see some variation year to year climatically. That's going to occur. And if there's a serious issue, as there was with the little plover, I think they've demonstrated there's a way forward there as well.
John Holyvoat, he is the Government Affairs Director of the Wisconsin Dairy Business Association. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We have three callers holding for John, and we will get to your calls right after this short break.
Thank you to the business sponsors who help support WPR programs. Businesses like Majestic Theater, Fox City's Performing Arts, and Wine Guys play a huge role in the success of WPR. Your business can join our ever-growing list of supporters. More information at WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-Law.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio with John Holyvoat, the Government Affairs Director of the Wisconsin Dairy Business Association. Earlier in the program, we had three members of the citizen opposition group called Protect Wood County and Its Neighbors. We're talking specifically about the issues surrounding the proposed location of a large-scale dairy farm, Golden Sands Dairy, in the town of Saratoga in Wood County. I want to get to your phone calls right now. Steve in the town of Rome has been waiting patiently. Steve, you're on Route 51 with John Holyvoat.
Thank you. John, just a quick question. How would you defend the nitrate levels in the groundwater monitoring wells at 7 times the state limit around the existing Waisaki CAFO in Armenia, which is the proposed Saratoga CAFO that would be based on that one? There's 2,000 families in harm's way there.
I would say that we haven't seen a correlation between cow numbers, per capita cow density, and nitrate contamination in Wisconsin. We've never seen that. We have counties that have very few cows that have very high nitrate numbers. There's things that can be done to mitigate that situation. And obviously should be. I'd be interested to know what the actual residential wells around the farm are testing at and what can be done to improve it if they are having problems. But, again, there's not a direct correlation between cows and nitrates in Wisconsin.
Steve, do you have a quick follow-up?
Well, I just know that there's people in that area that have moved because they're laundry lines have been sprayed with manure from these jets of supposed water that will be spraying out over these crops. And with the air pollution that's also resulted, it's just become intolerable over there, and we just didn't want to see that here in Rome and Saratoga. That's our whole problem with this whole thing, and I just don't know what else to say.
Steve, thanks so much for the phone call. And, John, if you could address the concern about the aerial spraying of manure.
Yeah, I'm glad, actually, that Steve brought that up. I think that overspray is an issue that needs to be addressed if that's occurring in Juneau County. One of the great things about the project proposed for Town of Saratoga is they have a massive land base, which you referenced earlier in the show. So the chance of overspray when you have 7,000 acres that you are contiguous to your production site is minimal, and there are setbacks in place underneath the current plan and spec to protect against that as well. We have an ongoing research study into the efficacy of spray irrigation, the type that Steve mentioned, and really what we find is, as far as like pathogen transfer, all those kinds of concerns about air quality, after a pretty short setback, which would be mandatory underneath the requirements that the Waisakis would have to follow on their site, you really don't see the transfer that they were fearing. In fact, it looks like the end result of that study is probably going to be pretty favorable to the use of this practice.
Let's go to Brian in Wisconsin Rapids. Brian, you're on with John Holyvoet of the Dairy Business Association.
Appreciate you taking my call, sir. The Wisconsin Rapids Tribune recently printed an article that dealt with the widespread groundwater contamination in Kewaunee. In that article, it states that the large farm owners vehemently disagree that they're responsible for the pollution over there and that the contamination is more likely coming from old unsafe wells and septic systems as opposed to the millions of gallons of liquid manure being spread. Two questions for Mr. Holyvoet. Given the fact that Saratoga will have established a multi-year baseline history of both pristine surface and groundwater before the construction of any CAFO here, is the DBA and its members at all concerned with the placement of a CAFO here in Saratoga, given that any significant change in groundwater quality would more than likely be blamed on the farm, thus weakening the CAFO operator's argument over there in Kewaunee? And then secondly, has the DBA reached out to the Wysockis in an effort to discourage them from moving forward with this plan in what appears to be an incompatible area given the population, the recreation, the tourism, what have you? I mean, the hired hydrologists here are if they're correct with their dire predictions, this could potentially be a huge can of worms for the DBA and the state's factory farmers. Because after all, I mean, this is
all right. We're running out of time. We got
to
give John a chance to respond. Let's respond to the second question first. Have you reached out to the Wysockis and encouraged them not to develop this project?
No. In fact, I think this project makes a lot of sense for the town of Saratoga. As far as his first comments about Kewaunee County, I think it's important to draw the distinction. Cow numbers, the number of and density, it's completely different. It'd be apples and oranges entirely. One of the interesting statistics, again, in my 35 years, if they build this farm and they have all 5,300 cows, there will still be fewer milking cows in the town, in Wood County, than there were when I was born. This is not a cow density issue. So I think the parallels just don't work at all.
Let's move to Nancy in Wisconsin Rapids, who has a question about family farms. Nancy?
Hi there. You had said that your concern was that there's less than 10,000 farms or something in Wisconsin. How many family farms do you think that these CAFOs have put out of business?
I don't think really that's a problem at all. And if you look at the trend that we've had in the decline in cow numbers and the decline in family farms, that happened long before we had any CAFOs, long before. And, in fact, some of these CAFOs help to support small family farms because those family farms produce feed for their animals. They might be a finishing facility for their young stock, their calves and their heifers. There's a good working relationship between small farmers and large farmers in many areas of the state, so I don't think that's a fair criticism.
I'm going to take one more call here. We've got Jeannie in Richford. Jeannie, make it quick because we're running out of time.
Okay, I have a question. Thank you for taking the call. These CAFOs, how long do they last? I know in California they deplete the environment and the surrounding areas like in 20 years and they move on. How long do you believe that this will last here in the Wysockis, before they deplete everything around them?
And John, make your answer succinct, please.
Sure. I would just say that her basis for her question is wrong, that they somehow deplete the environment. Most of our concentrated animal feeding operations in Wisconsin are family-run, multi-generational operations. Wysockis is yet another example of that.
And one comment from Dan in Minocqua. What's to prevent the Wysockis from starting with 5,300 animals and increasing after that? That's Dave in Minocqua.
Well, it would be based on their ability to apply manure and store manure, which is all heavily regulated by their nutrient management plan.
So would they need additional approval to increase the number of animals, or is once they get this established, would they be able to basically do that on their own?
If they increase the number of animals beyond what they would have already planned for underneath a nutrient management plan or manure storage capacity, they would need to build additional manure storage or change their nutrient management plan, which would require oversight and review by the Department of Natural Resources.
And, John, we've got about 15 or 20 seconds here. If you've got any final thoughts or final comments, we'd love to hear them now.
Sure. I mean, our organization is dedicated to helping dairy farmers throughout the state, dairy farmers of all sizes, large and small. And I think there's room for all of those to grow, and I want them all to be successful. And I hope that's a goal that most of us can share.
We want to thank today's guests, John Holyvoat, Government Affairs Director of the Wisconsin Dairy Business Association. And earlier in the program, thanks also to the three members of the Citizens Group Protect Wood County Board Member Bill Lightnam, Town of Saratoga Businesswoman Rhonda Carell, and Lakefront Homeowner Don Easted. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, who will be hosting Route 51 for me next week. Thanks to our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Remember to follow us on Facebook. If you missed part of the show, you can hear it in its entirety Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau. The program can also be downloaded at wpr.org/Route 51. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.